Hello, and welcome to the Sapona Road Church podcast. Today is a great day. It's the day that the Lord has made, and we are excited that you've taken time to join with us as we hear from God's Word. We exist as a church to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We hope that today's message encourages and blesses you and helps you to grow and mature in your walk and relationship with Him. The word of the Lord is powerful and life-changing, so let's see our lives transformed as we listen to today's message.
So today I want to talk to you on the thought of, are we normal Christians or nominal Christians? And I'm going to be talking about worship. And so this message is kind of a, it's still stuff to think about, which is my normal type message, but there is a lot of correction in this message. So I'll go ahead and warn you for that. And even if I say you, I mean us. So I'm not preaching at you today. I'm preaching to us because we all need to check ourselves and about things. And so it's about worship and about your worship, where you're at in your worship with God. Are you even having a thought about worship when it comes to your relationship with God? And I don't know. I think maybe we are the generation that can come up with more excuses than any other generation before us. I am one of the best at coming up with excuses. I don't know if I'm better than you or not, but I am really good at telling you why things aren't going to work, why I've got a reason not to do this, or why I've got a reason not to do that. But I was reading last night in I think it was Mark chapter 5 about when Jesus delivered the demoniac, and you got to think this guy had he's cutting himself. He's living in the tombs. He's got a legion of demons inside of him. We don't know how many that is. Some say it's about 4,800 possible devils that were in him. I think it was around 2,000 pigs that ran and jumped into the and drowned. So if there was one demon per pig, we're at 2,000 demons in this guy minimum. But we don't know exactly what it was. But we do know that when Jesus got out of the boat, he came and kneeled down and bowed down and worshiped. So, if a legion of demons couldn't keep this guy from worshiping God, I don't know that your excuse is going to hold up. Whatever it is that's not going your way that you think gives you the out or the reason not to worship God, it's not going to be good enough. Whatever reason I have when I choose not to worship God, it's not going to be good enough. If thousands of demons couldn't stop him from doing it, what's stopping us? It's really a good question to ask. Is it really, what are we allowing the enemy to use to get us to not worship God? And this guy wasn't even in his right mind. But anyways, that's not the message. So I want to talk to you about some thoughts on worship. And this all kind of started, I brought these two books. They're actually the same book. I've showed you books before, but none of you have probably ever bought one and read one that I've showed you from up here. Maybe did somebody buy one about the greatest gift? What was it? The greatest gift in the world? Okay, we got one that bought a book. Good. I don't show too many books. If I show you a book, I try to make sure it's at least a good one because I don't like reading. So it's got to be an interesting book for me to read it. But this book is by A.W. Tozer, and it's called Whatever Happened to Worship. If you're looking for a book on worship, this is an amazing book that they've put together. I've got two copies because I don't know when I bought this. I bought a few of his books and just kind of put them on a shelf. And I think the first time I opened this book up and like couldn't put it down was about 8 years ago. And I like to go back through it. And then I think it was 2021. Jill said, my sister Jill said, "Hey, I've ordered you a book. You got to read this book." And she said, "I'm going to bring it to you whenever it comes in." And she brings me, and it's the same book on a different cover. But this one, they have added a couple of chapters at the back that aren't in the original one, where they redid it. And so I read the few chapters in the back, but then I went back to my old one because I kind of like to see what I highlighted and what I've written in there to see what was I thinking the last time I read this, or what stood out to me, and then what stands out to me now when I go back through it. But this book is, it's just a good book. And so a lot of what I'm going to talk to you about today, you may be able to find in the book, or at least reading the book is, and going back through the book is what caused me to have these different thoughts to talk about and to search out. And so with these thoughts, I want every person in here, I just want you to think about it and honestly answer, after you ask yourself this question, am I a normal Christian? Am not anybody else, but you, am I a normal Christian, or am I a nominal Christian? So, the word nominal, let me give you the definition of it. Existing in name only. It means not real or actual. Very small in amount. So small in amount as to be hardly worth the name. As Christians, are we worth the name that we proclaim and that we carry? Are we really being Christians, or are we normal Christians, or are we just Christians in name only? Are we worshipers, or are we watchers? Are we obedient, or are we just on the outside looking in? And see, I believe that worship is a vital part of the life of any normal Christian. There's a lot of people out there professing to be Christians that say it's not necessary and say they're not interested. But if they're a normal Christian, if you're a real normal Christian, it's going to be part of your life. I've got a few scriptures here I gave them. Genesis 1:1, just going to read the first four words. In the beginning, God. John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Revelations 22, verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. It all begins and ends with God. He is God. That's the simplest way you can put it. And He's always been here. And so if everything begins and ends with Him, wouldn't it make sense that if we would just worship Him and trust Him and put Him first in everything that we do, that He'll take care of it for us? He's not going to fail us. If we believe God created everything and we believe that God's in control of everything, then why do we worry so much? So ask yourself that. I got a lot of questions for you to ask yourself today. Ask yourself this question. Do you worry more than you worship? If you think everything's okay with my worship, I'm all this stuff, you know, I do this, I do that, okay, but do you worry more than you worship? Most of us don't want to answer that question. That's a difficult one. We're more blessed than ever, and we worry about more than ever at the same time. Why do we worry more than we worship? We serve a God that not only owns it all, He created it all. He created you and me, and He didn't make us or create us to worry about silly things. We were made to worship Him. It's just a fact. And some people say that they don't have a problem with worship, and a lot of people would even say that they would like to worship more, and then here comes the end of that statement that we all make. But it just really doesn't come natural to me. Maybe you've thought that. Maybe you've said that. I have done both. I have thought it and I have said it. It just doesn't seem to come natural to me. But see, how you feel about it doesn't change the fact about it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change the fact that we were made to worship Him whether we feel like it or not. And you got to think about if the fall had never happened, if Adam and Eve had never fallen in the garden, then worship would be the most natural thing for all of us, because it actually is natural. When you think about it, sin is what's not natural. Sinning was not the natural thing for Adam and Eve. You have some people out there even now, they say, oh, we're going to sin every day. Do most people sin every day? Probably. Does it mean that we have to just accept that and just go out and sin by faith? No. That's crazy. It was not normal. Adam and Eve didn't go around sinning every day because that wasn't natural. It was never intended, but they disobeyed and they failed and they lost their privilege of a perfect fellowship with God. sin was the unnatural thing, not worship. Sin was never intended by God to be in our nature. It was never supposed to be there. Worship is the real natural for us. Worship is your nature. And you know that there are still people that believe, and even some preachers that still preach, you can find them on YouTube and places, but they'll say that Jesus died on the cross so that we wouldn't do whatever's on their list of things you're not supposed to do. He died to take care of this sin and to take care of that sin. In a sense, I can see where some of them are coming from, but you know the ones I'm talking about. Jesus did not come and die because he hated sin. The Bible tells us we're to abhor evil. We're to hate it. I hate sin. I'm completely against sin. But Jesus didn't come because he hated sin. He came because he loved us and wanted to restore our relationship with the Father. So he came as to reveal the Father to us that we might be restored to him. He came and he was, and this is how Tozer puts it in the book, Jesus came and was born of a virgin, suffered, died on the cross, and rose from the grave to make worshipers out of rebels. That's you and me. It's what it's all about. We were saved to be worshipers. And so some people say, well, I don't mind worship and I don't mind the Spirit moving and in services, but why do people have to be so emotional? Well, let me address that for a minute. So when it comes to emotionalism in services, there are some times in services where there is a lot of emotion going on, a lot of emotion being worked up. And when that happens, sometimes, believe it or not, it is completely in order. There's nothing wrong with being emotional. At the same time, there are times when there's emotional things going on in a service and it's completely out of order. Okay, so there's no hard, fast rule to say, oh, you should never be emotional in church or you should always be emotional in church. Sometimes people are out of order and they need to be told to sit down and get quiet. And sometimes people are out of order because they are sitting down being quiet. You know, so there's no way to say it. So the best way I know to talk about when it comes to people being emotional is, number one, you don't know what God has brought them through. When they're responding that way to feel in the presence of God, you don't know what they've been through. I had a friend of mine that he's going on to be with the Lord now, but when he would start to worship the Lord, or if he felt the presence of the Lord in a service, he would yell one thing. He had this high-pitched yell that cracked me up a little bit. But the other thing that he would do cartwheels and somersaults. And not flips in the air or anything, but just, you know, on the ground. And some people thought he was crazy. But they didn't know what God had brought him through. When I would see him do it, it would always put a smile on my face and even a couple of times move me emotionally almost to tears because I knew the pain that was in his body. I knew the battles he had had with cancer. I knew the shape of his hips and his knees and his back and that he could barely get out of the bed. And so that he had this thing about when he felt like it was time to worship God, he was not going to let anything hold him back, even the pain in his own body. And so he would worship that way even if he had to pay for it the next day. I think God likes that kind of emotionalism or that kind of, but did it look crazy and sometimes did it look out of order? Yeah, sometimes it actually did. But I don't believe that it was because it was a sacrifice of praise. The other thing is I believe it puts a smile on God's face when he sees us emotional over him. Now I want you to think about little kids for a minute, how they get excited. If you go and mom, dad, or grandma or grandpa goes to get the little kid, and when they see them and they lock eyes on them, their face lights up, their hands start moving like this, their feet start moving, and they start bouncing around doing the little happy dance or whatever you call it. And I have seen almost every kid do it. What I have never seen is a parent react with anything other than a big giant smile. I've never seen a mom or dad or a grandma or grandpa say, I don't know why this kid has to be so emotional. I don't know why he doesn't just stop. He did that the last three times I came to pick him up, and here he goes again. Every time I walk in a room, here's what he does. It's so embarrassing. No, they all smile big and usually encourage them to keep dancing. Sometimes they start imitating the dance, looking way crazier than the kid does. Or they pick them up and give them a big hug. See, I believe that's how God is when He sees us actually step out and worship Him. Now, I even used to be one of the ones that would say, I don't mind worship, but I just don't think you have to be that loud. But then one day I realized that when I sing, not somebody else, not somebody just because they can sing better than me, but when I sing or when I shout, when I worship and I proclaim praises to my God, that's when I get to minister to Him. Little old me. I get to minister to Him and I get to join with the angels that are around the throne crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." I get that opportunity. I get that privilege. See, I'm talking about worship, but you might have thought I was just trying to get a response in a service. That's not what this is about. In fact, to me personally, I believe what you do at home is way more important than what you do in front of other people. That's just how I feel about it. If I was only nice to Heather in front of everybody else and then didn't talk to her when I got home, I don't think she would be very happy about that. Believe it or not, I'm nicer to her at home than I am here. I like to pick on her in front of people. So, but what you do in your private time, that's when I sing the loudest or shout the loudest. And believe it or not, every now and then I even dance. Don't tell Heather. She caught me one time, but I don't like to admit to that. Do I look silly? Yeah. Sometimes it feels just as embarrassing, as just as stressful if I were up here on stage doing it in front of all of y'all and nobody else is in the house. The fear of man's tough, guys. It's rough to break that. But what you do in your private time is what I'm talking about just as much or maybe even more than what I'm talking about what you do here or any service you go to. Now, those times of corporate worship, sometimes there are breakthroughs that happen in that, and it's important that you worship even when we come together, because not only is it good for you, it encourages other people and it lifts people's faith. But what you do at home, don't just worry. If all you're ever going to do is worship at a church service, I'd rather you just keep sitting there. Because it's not what it's about. It's about a personal relationship. See, when we do those things, it may sound silly for you to hear me say that I do those kind of things at home. What's the big deal? Oh, is that just for you? No. Even with me by myself, those things are powerful with what they do in the kingdom. Because we serve a God that cares about the little things. But the key word there is we serve. We serve Him. He doesn't serve us. It's not on our terms, it's on His terms. And sometimes we act like He's the servant and we're the master, but that's not how it is. We're His servants and He deserves our praise and He expects our praise. But are we giving it to Him? Are you giving it to Him? Are we as a group of believers and are you as a follower of Christ? Are you worshiping God the way that you should? And see, the good thing about God is He always gives back. He wants to bless us. He wants to empower us. He wants to work through us. He wants to partner with us. But even more than any of that, He just wants us. He just wants us. But it seems like the church in general just doesn't want to worship. We just don't want to worship. We don't want to take the time. We say that we believe God is our hope and our salvation, but then we don't act like it. And if any of us in here, even the most timid person, because I really don't like those examples about ball games and stuff like that people do, but some of it does, there is truth in it. Because when I go to ball games, I don't yell and scream. I just sit there quiet. I'm more out to yell at my TV than I am at the actual ball game, unless I'm coaching. If I'm coaching or playing, I yell at referees. But if we were stranded on an island with no way off and a helicopter flew by, what would you do? Would you just look there and say, there goes a helicopter? No. The most timid one of us in here would be jumping and even screaming, even though there's no way they're going to hear you, but flapping your arms or whatever you can do. I don't think it has to be every time, but at some point, in your relationship when you realize the rescue that God has provided for you, that's how we should be with God. See, we forget God is compassionate and He's loving and He cares. He loves you more than you love yourself. Whoever it is you're praying about, He loves that person more than you love that person. But God doesn't always, He's not guaranteed to move because of our pain, but He is moved by our praise. We know it, the Bible says it, but yet we don't do it. See, don't we serve the one true living God, but why don't we act like it? Why are we ashamed? Why are we embarrassed? Why is the church so satisfied with the attitude of, well, that's just the way things are, when we've been promised that we can have life more abundantly? See, do we really believe the Bible when it says that He inhabits the praises of His people? So why won't we praise Him more if that's what we believe? But see, what happens is we go and we want to spend time in prayer, whether it's by ourselves or even with a group of people, and we start saying things like, God, I need You to show up in this situation. God, I need You to move on our behalf on this problem or that problem. God, I need You to do this, and I need You. And we're supposed to bring our petitions to Him. That's I'm not against that. But if we're needing Him to show up in a situation, and the Bible says He shows up because when He inhabits the praises, don't you think we should put some praise in that prayer somewhere? If we started praising God and thanking Him that He shows up, thanking Him that He said He would never leave us or forsake us, thanking Him for being our healer and our provider, what would happen then? Do we really believe the Bible when it says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you? Then why are there so many Christians that aren't pursuing God? Why are we not seeking Him? Why aren't we after Him with all that we are? What if we really sought after God? What if we worship with expectancy? What would that look like? What would change? But see, in too many churches, and even this church, because it's actually every church, I don't know of a church that doesn't have these issues, but people have just become satisfied with the way things are. They like the comfort. They like it. I'm working on a message now called Don't Get Comfortable. So we'll see how that goes. I don't know how long it's going to take me, but they never think about wanting more. So here's another question for you to ask yourself. This week, have you prayed for more? Have you asked God for more this week? Have you prayed for more revelation? Have you prayed for a deeper relationship? Have you prayed for more understanding, spiritual understanding and wisdom and knowledge? Have you prayed for more for your family? Have you prayed for more for this church? Have you prayed for this service that we're in today? Have you said even a 2-second prayer for the service that you're in right now, that God would speak to your heart and the hearts of other people, and that people might be saved and set free and delivered? Is that why we're not seeing the moves that we once did? Is it because people won't pray and they won't worship? Have you asked for more for your own family? A lot of us might not want to answer that question. See, we should want and expect the best, and we should want to be the best that we can be for the Lord. Many of you in here, we all, like I said, we all have these excuses. And, you know, well, this has taken up my time, and that, and I know everybody's busy. But I know personally that I gave the sport of volleyball all I had. I gave it all my time. I gave it all my money. I gave it my body. There's still some pictures on Facebook for me from about, I think it was about 7 years ago, playing in a beach volleyball tournament, and I have got KT tape on both ankles, both knees, my shoulder, knee braces on both knees, and ankle braces. It was obvious who the old man at the tournament was, because everybody else, they don't have anything, they're not wearing anything, and I look like a mummy. But I wanted to play. I was willing to take the pain. I was willing to pay the money. I was willing to take the time. There's a lot of things I didn't get to do with my friends while I was playing volleyball. There's a lot of things I couldn't buy because I spent the money on volleyball. There was a lot. I gave it absolutely all that I had because I loved it. And many of you, you've given all that you have to a sport or to a job or to a hobby or even to a person. Why don't we give all that's within us to worshiping God and doing His will? What would happen if we did it? What if we just tried it for 30 days? What would happen? What would change? See, think about this one. You wouldn't, would maybe you would, but I would hope that you would not. Would you ever invite someone, tell them you want to take them out to eat, and then take them to a bad restaurant? You know it's bad. They got a bad sanitation grade. The service is bad. The food is bad, and the prices are high. You wouldn't do that to somebody. You wouldn't take them to a restaurant like that. You would want to take them someplace that you knew was good. You would take them someplace that you knew they were going to have a great experience. Well, most of the churches, we owe our communities an apology. See, we've invited them in and we've promised them a lot. With all the latest, whatever you can come up with to get people in the door promises. And then they come and it's not what they're told. Because they're told, oh, you need to come to our church. Man, our church knows how to worship. You should come to our church. Our church knows how to pray. Our church knows how to touch God. Our church loves the Lord. Our church is just... And then they come and it's like walking into that bad restaurant because they don't see any of the things that they were told. And sometimes they're lucky if they even just get a smile and are glad to have you today. Sometimes they don't even get that. And they don't see any more worship here than at the church down the road that doesn't even claim to be Spirit-filled. And they don't feel the presence of the Lord any more here than at the church up the street where they don't even clap their hands or pray out loud because they're so quiet and formal. But then we see that person that we invited, and we should just say sorry, but we don't. We tell them this, man, you should have been here last week. We had a good service last week. Last week, the youth pastor preached. Last week, you need to come back. Pastor's kind of in a boring series right now, but when he gets through this, it gets better. Or the one, you should have been at this church 20 years ago when it was standing room. But sometimes they got to go way back to apologize to them. You should have been, we used to have some powerful revivals or that one. You should have been here last month when we were in revival. You should have come. Hearing stuff like that's why I don't fish. Because I don't like fishing, I like catching. And every time I would go out of my way to go on a fishing trip, there was no catching. It was just a bunch of fishing. And a bunch of people coming up to me and they would all tell me the same thing. Man, you should have been here last weekend. We were pulling them in. You didn't even have to bait your hook. Have you ever heard that one from somebody? You didn't even have to bait your hook. Just throw it out in the water, man. I was reeling them in two at a time. They were running. They were running about 3 weeks ago. Yeah, about 3 weeks. I just quit going. I just let me know when they're running. If I'm close enough to get over here and throw my empty hook in the water, we'll see what happens. But every time I went, I heard the same story. That's what we've been doing to people for years at the church. Telling them stories we should tell a testimony. If it happened 100 years ago, it's still just as powerful to tell that testimony today. But we need to give people an experience. They need to experience us worshiping God because then we wonder why they didn't come back. Well, I got a good idea. I've got a real good idea. See, we need to do and let them see us do what we were made to do. Stop being ashamed of the Lord and start worshiping God. Worship and serve the Lord because it's all about Him anyways. We have to remember this. If not, we're not being normal Christians. We're being nominal Christians. Can you imagine if, I hope this would never happen, but could you imagine if I'm sure there's a record, but if we got to see the record of the days of our lives, of ever since we accepted Christ, the days that we were normal Christians or the days we were nominal. I wouldn't want to see my record. Is anybody here, you want to see your record? I'm not that confident in my performance to want to see that record. So many times we let other things get in the way, and I think a lot of it has to do with people not knowing who they really are. That's why I talk a lot about the renewed mind, about who we are in Christ and belief systems. But in this book, if you do decide to get it and read it, He tells a story about when he was in Toronto, I think it was, he was sitting on a park bench and this man comes up and he's in a suit, he's well-dressed, sits down across from him and just keeps looking at him smiling. And so finally he says, do I know you? Gentleman says, I don't believe so, but I don't even know who I am. And he says, well, what do you mean you don't know who you are? And he said, well, I fell and hit my head, and I was knocked out unconscious, and when I woke up, I don't remember anything, and somebody's robbed me. I don't have my wallet. I don't have any identification. I don't have anything on me to let me know who I am, what I'm doing here, and why I'm here. And so he's talking to him a little bit, trying to encourage the guy, and he's telling him he's going to take him to the police station and get him some help. And about that time, another man in a suit, a well-dressed man in a suit, comes running saying, there you are. I've been looking everywhere for you. You got to come with me right now. We got obligations to keep. Where have you been? The guy says, I don't know who you are. And he says, what do you mean you don't know who I am? We rode here together. We traveled here together. You've known me forever. They're in an orchestra together. And he said, you're our number one violinist. This guy was one of the best violin players in the world. And he didn't even know who he was or what his skill, what he was here for, what his purpose was. And so Tozer said, you play the violin? He said, I don't know. This guy says I do, so I guess I must. And so they talked for a while long enough for him to trust that the other guy in the suit really was telling him the truth, and they went away, and he took him home. And all this happened because of a fall. And so we have to remember that when it comes to Adam and Eve. I talked about them in the beginning, so I'm going to close with them. But they had a fall as well. And they're our first parents. And for those of you that struggle with worship, I want you to remember this. When they had this fall, they received a terrible bump. A bump that changed everything. A bump that brought brain fog like nothing they had ever seen. Just like the musician in the story, they tried to shake the fog. They tried to do it on their own to get their minds clear, but they couldn't. They looked at each other and they noticed things. Things didn't seem like they used to seem. They were confused and they no longer knew who they were. They no longer knew why they were alive. They no longer knew their purpose. They no longer knew what they were here for. And ever since then, every single human being has had that same fog. We're born with it. Men and women that are alienated from God and they're trying to make it on this sin-sick planet and they're trying to shake the fog and they're trying to, and we're saying the same things that they were saying after the fall. Who am I? I don't even know why I was born. Why am I here? What's my purpose? What's my identity? This generation struggling with it may be worse than any generation in history. Well, if that's you, then I want to tell you, you're here because you were meant to be a normal Christian. You were meant to be a worshiper. You are a worshiper. Maybe you're like the violin player that says, well, I guess I can play the violin since he says I can. I don't really remember, but it must be true. It's true. It's who you are. I'm telling you, you are a worshiper. It's who you are, and if you aren't sure about it, then just start telling yourself you are. But just believe me, okay? Just believe me. Whether you can remember or not, it is what's natural to you. Worshiping God is what you were made for. It's your purpose. See, we were made to worship God, to glorify God, and enjoy Him forever. It never has to end. And if you want to go from being a nominal Christian to a normal Christian, just start doing what was intended to be natural for us all along. Just start worshiping God. See, things that when you start thinking of things, even in the spiritual, it's, if you don't worship, let me put this thought in you since I dropped the demon-possessed guy at the beginning on you. Let me drop this one at the end. When you don't worship spiritually, it's almost like you're trying to sew the veil back up that's been torn. Like you don't want to enter into His presence. You don't want to experience that relationship with God. So you're just sewing it up by your lack of worship when we could be entering in if we just would worship. That would change everything. So Father, we just thank You. We thank You for Your presence in this place, God. We thank You for the opportunity and the privilege to worship, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all things, the one true living God, the Alpha and the Omega, God. It's such an honor to worship you, such a privilege, God. Lord, I pray that none of us would take that lightly. I pray that we would begin to do what comes natural, and that's to be a worshiper of God Almighty. Lord, help us to be normal Christians. Help us to go after you like never before, God. Lord, if there is ever a time that Christians need to be Christians, it's now. Help us to stand for what's right and what's true, God, and to lift up the name of Jesus in all that we do and love every person you put in our path. And God, I just pray blessings over every person here today, and that you just go with them and give them favor in Jesus' name. Amen.
We are so happy that you joined us today. If you are interested in learning about or giving to this ministry, you can find more information at SaponaRoadChurch.com. If you are local to the Fayetteville, North Carolina area, our meeting times are 10:45 a.m. Sunday mornings and 7 o'clock p.m. Wednesdays for our Connect groups. From all of us here at Sapona Road Church, we hope that you have a great day as you walk in the Lord's favor and blessing.